big stores. Brings got no law. The BAPF just comes in and orders them and says, we're going to shut you down. And they sit there like bucks and threaten them. If you don't start getting people's driver's license and name, when they buy ammo.
Dead men don't sweat. How'd it get this bad? Who knows who's sick? Been racked like a rifle sight, aimed in the night at the Bill of Rights. Right cross to your hindsight. Can't stand the sight. Raised as a pet, bred for the slaughter. Where everything's sort of bad for us, I guess. Education, little jails, no bail. Little kids set sail for combat. Come back and chase tails. A Katrina gun taken. No soldiers got shooken. Hey, good looking. Here's what your boss got cooking. Barack H. Bush 3, new star. Same drama coming for your guns. Better get some armor. Better get some knowledge. They won't teach you in college with a comic collage of garbage. You can finally acknowledge self-defense, common sense. The recession got you stressing. Home invasion situation, call waiting. Got you guessing. Cops solve crimes. They don't stop them. You got a cop. What you got to drop? Drop them. You got to stop. What you thought about robbing? You got a gun. Then a robber got a problem. We got a problem. The government's full of robbers. We got to solve it. Raising hell with our revolvers. Take them away. That'll solve all their problems. They'll treat us like Hitler, Mao, and Joseph Stalin. What you gonna do? They come in for your guns, guns.
Good morning, CKLN listeners. Check, check, 1, 2. Check, check, 1, 2, 3. There, I think I am. Good morning, CKLN listeners.
And we are the dreamers of dreams.
It happens to be the 22nd day of March 2010. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, for your CKLN Monday Morning Rude Awakening. I've got a jam-packed show for you today. Going to play some tunes, going to break down some news. I do see here on the cover of the Metro, Mr. Barack H. Obama with a very silly look on his face. Looking good. He's a good-looking guy. He's not my, like, Brad Pitt to go grow a beard. He still looks good. Or Johnny Depp. And these guys can do all such crazy things. They're just too good-looking. They get away with anything. But still be a goofy photo of him looking really silly. While below it, it says, Bill of Health. And here on Rude Awakening, on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, Rogers Cable Box 947. As well as streaming later at archive.org, radio4all.net, radio the number 4, and then all.net, as well as blackkrishna.blogspot.com, where my blog, I post my stuff there. You can also email me at blackkrishna, blackkrishna, at gmail.com. Here on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, when I'm here, my colleague JD posts on Wednesday and Fridays. If not, I tend to break down my show as details of something that is known by many as the New World Order. And the New World Order is essentially inbred banking family, central bank family, sort of the descendants of royalty who've been running the world into the ground, as we can see if we look, for some time now. And the lines of power aren't broken. You can kind of see which way the wind's blowing. The queen's on half the money in the world. And the 20th century was dominated by Encyclopedia Britannica and so on. So, you know, the city of London, anyway, or the corporate city of London inside the city of London there, the sort of subgrouping, you know, they have all these treaties and secret deals and all these business arrangements and all these things that go back, you know, years and years and years. Treaties don't die. I mean, if you think about the treaty with the United Nations right now, or any other treaties, they may not be foremost on our mind in a few years. But they may still be in place. So definitely good to look at the history of some of these treaties, things like Admiralty Law and so on. And I do have some documents here that I'm going to break down for you on this show. But back to Obama and the Bill of Health here. The New World Order, as best we understand it, is a eugenics cult. They, and this is not just because, you know, ooh, cults are kind of in style now, and it's kind of fun to call them that. You got to wonder why they're in style when you know, people like myself suggest that a cult runs the world. But regardless, it's the type of thing that that. Gotcha. Sorry, folks. because of that, you've got to worry about things like the quote-unquote Bill of Health. You're on the cover of the Metro, and Canada's pretty heavily sold to Obama, so definitely got to figure out why and what his role is in all this. Eugenics, for those of you out there who don't know, it's a belief in superior races, a belief in survival of the fittest. It's sort of a perversion of Darwin, not that Darwinism itself is kind of messed up, but an offshoot of that. And basically, the people who run the world and the people who run the world who are from bloodlines and families, you know, like the word bloodline, from families that have run the world, the descendants of them, think they are superior. They think they can enslave entire countries. They think they can start wars and profit off doing all sorts of horrible things. And when they already have that attitude towards people, it's partly about money, it's probably about power and control and assets, it's probably about getting us to create them the kind of world that they want, the people at the top. But it's also about killing us off, which is something that eugenicists have wanted to do for generations, centuries. Thomas Malthus, a philosopher from the 1700s, posited the idea that that food grows arithmetically, where there would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 tomatoes, whereas population grows exponentially, where there would be 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64 people. And 64 people, you know, there's not enough tomatoes for 64 people. So that was his theory, but just reality proves him wrong. I mean, you can say that, and if you have some sort of, you know, backing or some sort of backing that's considered authoritative by the person you're talking to, then you can get away with saying that. But that basic discredited Malthusian philosophy is what's behind the eugenicists so far. And then there are things like NSSM 200, the National Security Strategy Memorandum 200, which I do have a copy of here, which I can break out for you and I can give you an example. This is a document that was allegedly commissioned by Henry Kissinger back in the 70s. It's been declassified. And it says here, National Security Study Memorandum, NSSM 200, Implications of Worldwide Population Growth for U.S. Security and Overseas Interests. The Kissinger Report, December 10, 1974. And so you can see that when the U.S. government considered in the 70s worldwide population growth, there are basically too many people using you know, the resources that U.S. corporations who control the government coveted, at least as one of the excuses for this insanity, then they take steps to deal with that. You know, there's no government that doesn't take steps to deal with a national security threat. And it says here, for U.S. security and overseas interests. And overseas interests is just code for, you know, the State Department doing business on behalf of corporations by negotiating horrible deals with countries so corporations can steal all their stuff and make a lot of money by selling it to other parts of the world. So I'm going to go through a couple of headings here. It says here, Chapter 1, World Demographic Trends. Chapter 2, Population of World Food Supplies, Minerals and Fuel, Economic Development, Population Growth, Implications of Population Pressure for National Security, World Population Conference. And then Part 2, Section 1, a U.S. Global Population Strategy. Now, if you think about that, a U.S. Global Population Strategy, and that is, you know, the U.S. Directing population initiatives in different countries, and so on. So, And it says here, action to create conditions for fertility decline, population, and a development assistance strategy. So, and just to stop here, just to back this up, Henry Kissinger was a very, very well-known national security advisor in the 1970s. He was actually sort of a, he was almost a Hollywood celebrity. He dated a couple of famous Hollywood actresses. He was a very, very ugly and goofy-sounding guy. Had a very, very sick voice like this. What we must understand is, Mr. President, the implications of Cambodia are enormous if we don't cut off the smellies. You know, that's Henry Kissinger in my poor bastardization of that bastard. But so he was a well-known diplomat, national security advisor. He was known as an advisor to presidents. And an advisor to presidents isn't like a president calling his buddy in and going, yo, what do you think of this trade deal? He's a guy that's institutionally placed there by the shadow government, the New World Order power structure that they put in place behind the real government to try and implement their policies. So that's Kissinger back in the 70s. He got a Nobel Peace Prize shortly after he bombed Cambodia to smithereens. And so if you notice Obama's Peace Prize for escalating the bombing of Iraq and Afghanistan to smithereens, as well as the bombing of Iran and Pakistan to smithereens, although there's, you know, less bombing there and less smithereens. But, hey, there's always, next month. And so you can see that there are institutions out there that are designed to for us to put our faith in. They're the certifiers, the Nobel Committee, the Nobel Prize. It's the most prestigious prize in the world. And they gave one to a president who expanded the unpopular wars that a last president was vilified for. So that's the kind of mind bomb that they're playing on us. But back to this document here, the National Security Strategy, National Security Study Memorandum by Henry Kissinger from the 70s. Action to create conditions for fertility decline, population, and a development assistance strategy. Food for peace program and population. Oh, great. anytime they trade food for anything, you're like, wait a minute. You know, why are you, I mean, this is food, man. We're starving. and it says here, and again, this is from the 70s. You can see what their paranoid fears were back then. World population growth since World War II is quantitatively and qualitatively different from any previous epoch in human history. The rapid reduction in death rates, unmatched by corresponding birth rate reductions, has brought total growth rates close to 2% a year, compared with about 1% before World War II, under 0.5% in 1750 to 1900, and lower rates before 1750. The effect is to double the world's population in 35 years instead of 100 years. Almost 80 million are now being added each year, compared with 10 million in 1900. So, I gotta tell you now, and I check. Okay. I'm assuming this is working. I can't exactly hear myself in my headphones too well right now, so I apologize if the mix is a little off, but we'll have to take care of these problems for future shows. But here on the 22nd of March, 2010, it is a Monday, and I am breaking down some historic plans by the elite and the powers that be evil at the highest levels to control population through a variety of means. But I want to point out a neat little trick that all these morons use, and that is this. They said they went through world population since World War II as growing faster and more. Then they talked about how it was 200 years ago, from 1750 to 1900. Then they said 35 years from now, it's going to double. And so what you get is you get people who take history to build conclusions to base future conclusions on that we need to do something about right now. So you would think that they could take history and then they could say, oh, okay, so that was history and that equals this today. And that would be enough. But the problem is there isn't enough going on with respect to population today. The whole population of the world could live in Australia comfortably. You know, all 6.5 billion people that they say there are on planet Earth or whatever could live in Australia with a plot of land to grow their own food, which might come in handy with respect to the genetically modified varieties out there. There's tons of them. Look at the work of Jeffrey Smith on that. Jeffrey Smith, look for the non-GMO shopping guide. I got some great advice from a Jamaican lady yesterday about some of this. Who looks at those health issues and says stay away from the wheat, dairy, soya, stay away from everything really, or stop GMO foods. Plan B to be somebody who can do that or be somebody who can help is certainly something to consider. But then again, hey, if you grow your own food, let's say you grow your own food in Toronto. You're like, all right, screw this. I'm getting off the grid. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to grow my own food, and I'm not dealing with this nonsense. I'm going to import my seeds. I'm going to get the real good stuff, and it's going to be fine. If you grow it outdoors, well, they're spraying chemtrails over the city for the last week, and then it got really cold on the weekend, which is what's supposed to happen after you spray chemtrails, because it's happened before. It's been happening for 10 years. Chemtrails are basically long trails of chemicals that hang in the sky, not contrails, just different temperatures of water meeting and creating that little muffler effect in the winter here on a bigger scale in the sky for 30 seconds a minute. These are ones that hang in the eye for, hang in the air for several hours, and there are people denying them all over the place. There's trolls online or just misguided folk online who say, oh no, it's got to be just a contrail. It's got to be, but their information is all contrary. If you look at them, if you remember what the last piece of crap they threw at you was, then the next piece of crap's easier to decipher, because they'll say things like, on a perfectly clear day, contrails dissipate, really, really quickly. But on a cloudy day, they would stay longer because there's more, humidity in the air, water vapor in the air, for them to, build in size and density and stay there for a little bit. But on perfectly clear days over Toronto last week, and there were some beautiful days over Toronto, there were giant X patterns. I saw quadruple crossed. And am I making all this up? Am I making up the fact that there was a science fiction movie over our heads going on last week? Go to youtube.com/BlackKrishnaVerse, BlackKrishnaVerse, to see. And you can see the videos I shot. And I don't know what you think my special effects budget is with a small handheld camera that has video function, no editing, and just random pointing and shooting at things and posting. But they're not bad. No animals were harmed in the making of these films, except by the chemtrails, potentially. So look into that issue more, because apparently they contain things like aluminum and barium and other chemicals that are bad for our health. So if you grow your own food in your own backyard, and chemtrail, or bits of chemtrail goo or juice or dust land on them, that's not going to help much. So we've got to do things to take on the system. These days, you're not supposed to think of we. You're just supposed to think of yourself. How do I get healthy? How do I get in shape? How do I get a job, keep my job? How do I get a girl, get a boy? How do I, look good? What should I be doing next? What do I want to watch? What do I want to serve? What video game do I want to play? What do I think? And so on. And that is, part of the culture that we've been raised. This is how he's raised. And that's part of the culture. And because of that atomization, that intellectual atomization of our culture, it makes it very, very difficult for us to try and coalesce around issues. I was talking with a guy on Queen Street yesterday who owns a business there, relatively new in the neighborhood. Although he's from Toronto, left, came back, and so we were talking for a sec, and I said to him, hey, you should get to know the Business Improvement Association. And I do know them; they're nice guys on Queen West. But I just said, look, just so you can get involved, just so if you have an issue, you know who's there, just so you know what the plans are, just so what the initiatives are that are worth supporting. Like, is there going to be a big street fest where, thousands of people come from across the greater Toronto area and go, wow, I love Queen Street. It's so cool. It's so hip. And you get armies of people walking through the back alleys, checking out the funky graffiti just south of Queen in the Bathurst, west of Bathurst area. Which is one of my favorite hoods in the whole, in all of TDOT. Here's my point on that. I was trying to say that, but at the end I had to pull back, and I didn't say all that fast. I'm saying it here on the radio, but a couple of things like that. And I said, I'm not even saying join or anything like that. I'm just saying know who runs the block. Like, know who runs the block. Get to know them. Don't get to know them because they're evil, and you want to keep an eye on them and snitch them out, but get to know them because it's good to know who runs your block. It's good to be part of that conversation about what's going on your own block, and that's a key here. So back to healthcare here, the national security strategy, a national security study memorandum from 1974. Again, documents like this reveal the thinking at the highest levels, and by the time it filters down to us, it sounds, something like this with the Bill of Health. I'm going to read here from the cover of the Metro. This is basically, and the reason I read this, and people go, oh, why aren't you reading InfoWars or whatever, maybe, and so on. And I'm like, look, my issue is not to give you here on CKLN Rude Awakening Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. My issue is not to give you the most, esoteric knowledge that I can find. And it's not to give you the rarest knowledge that I find. It's to give you my personal study way of interpreting the mass media and what a lot of people are being told, specifically for the reason of making it easier for you to convince people to question some of these issues in the same way that I do here on air. So if I go at Twitter instead of talking about a new superbug that popped up in the Ukraine, it's because there's probably a million people in Toronto on Twitter that are reducing their attention span and crippling their ability to think and to comprehend complex thoughts and to express them, because they're habitualizing writing in 140 characters less, and they're just, smiley face emoticon here, frowny face emoticon there, LOLs, IMHOs, and you start reducing your ability to use and understand English. And it all sounds fun at the beginning. You gotta wonder why the people in charge of the world, why they want us having so much fun. Like, they're clearly not nice to see what, by and large, what they're up to. So why are they selling us such a culture of fun? Why do they want us all having sex? What is the reason these are pushed in our culture? And the answer is we can kind of avoid or gloss over huge things like this healthcare bill. I'll read this article, then I'll read a bit of criticism here about this from InfoWars, just to show you what some people who look into these things a bit deeper than what the mass media gives us have to say. U.S. House passes historic healthcare legislation. Summoned to success by U.S. President Barack Obama, the Democratic-controlled Congress approved historic legislation last night, extending health care to tens of millions of uninsured Americans and cracking down on insurance company abuses, a climactic chapter in the century-long quest for near-universal coverage. Wow. How are you going to hate on this? How am I going to tell somebody in Toronto this is bad today? It's 6:23 in the morning, and I am looking here live on air on CKLN Radio, broadcasting to my city and worldwide to the degree that people do listen. I'm broadcasting the BS that we're getting whooped upside the head with. So let me just take this apart before you just think I hate, people getting, healthcare and I'm an anti-human person or whatever. Again, I start off the show with the fact that shows the world's run by eugenicists. Now I'm breaking down how those people are selling us healthcare. People that want to control and reduce population don't want us healthy. So, it says here, summoned to success by U.S. President Barack Obama. Okay, so basically, Obama is a salesman for the false left-right paradigm. He's currently worked the left, Bush worked the right, and they get us to choose one of those two options, whereas the left and right wing of the bird are controlled by the same bird brain. And that's how it works. So when we get sick of Obama, we'll vote for Mitt Romney or something, or that guy from Texas, Rick Perry, or one of those guys. And then when we get sick of them, we'll vote for Al Franken, in 2016 or whatever. Who knows? Assuming they keep this going, there was a bunch of posters up saying 2012, we were warned. Good to figure out what those were about, see if there was more to that than just the movie. But okay, the point is that what a lot of people will do, because they want to keep their faith in Obama. They're a little disillusioned. Yeah, the war in Iraq thing that's still going on, but you don't really talk or think about that much, not polite. Especially here in communist Canada. You should see what we do to intellectuals and dissidents here. May talk about that later. The point is that that people want to believe in Obama. And so if you see a picture like this, a cover like this, you see a bill of health, and you see the fact that he actually did something good, quote unquote, without being someone that looks into these things, you might be like, finally. Yeah, okay, he didn't stop the war in Iraq, he stopped Afghanistan, actually making that worse. Maybe that's a good war. A lot of leftists are starting to think that now. That was the right war, as Obama kept talking about. Again, Obama can sell the right war, like forever. Well, you know, and that's what he's been sold as. And so they can say he got this done. And without looking into this in any more detail, they can say, screw you, conspiracy boy. Obama got health care done. He's the man. I know he's not perfect, but you can't expect him to be perfect. He's a good guy. Tried his hardest. And then, instead of looking into things and formulating thoughts, they can make up their Obama fantasy. And so at 6:25 and 54, 55, 56, 57 seconds in the morning here on the 22nd day of March 2010, I am watching, you know, the thought process in this city of probably a mill and a half people being engineered by the cover of the Metro. But let's break down a bit more of just this this introduction here. Extending health care to tens of millions of uninsured Americans through cracking down on insurance company abuses. Okay, first of all, this health care is going to be rationed here. It's similar to the NHS in England, which is horrible. Similar to the system here in Canada, which we have to say is great, because, you know, otherwise you're not a good communist Canadian. But in actuality, it's quite horrible. And I'm not trying to knock, you know, everything there, but I am trying to make the point that I'm not stupid, and none of us is stupid, and all of us have to go, look, you're supposed to be making healthcare better. You know, we're not supposed to be saying that, yes, there are long wait times, yes, there's lots of abuses, yes, the big pharmacy companies run everything, but it's the best thing we can do, it's the best we've got, it's the best in the world. Like, you can't let people make you proud of having the best thing in the world, because then you may not want to get something better. And that's what our mind control, mass media, and educated culture is often being sold. So and there are death panels. They will ration healthcare. It's been written by Tom Daschle, U.S. congressman, among others, that we have to do this. John P. Holdren, the White House science czar who works for Obama, wrote a book called Eco-Science in the 70s with Paul and Mary Ehrlich. They were out talking to the population bomb that reflected some of these Malthusian tenets I was going over with the National Security Strategy Memorandum. And in that book, Eco-Science, they talked about the need to control population, introduce lower fertility through the use of vaccines, lower fertility by putting drugs in the water, poison us, kill us off to some degree, dumb us down to make us easier to kill off. I mean, if you're stupid, life gets tough. Well, you know, the odds of you getting hit by a bus, metaphorically or physically, increase, and that's their plan. So all this happy, happy, joy stuff on Twitter, all this happy, happy, joy stuff on everywhere, and the sort of disappearing into fantasies and roles and you know, working on your yoga butt, you know, or working on your video game skills. These are meant to be good. Like, I can't say that video game is not cool. I can't. The Pentagon has $1 trillion. And the money they fund into making video games, one of the best brainwashing tools for normalizing a militarizing culture and creating future soldiers, is staggering. And with a staggering amount of money and today's technology, you can produce spectacular video games. But if you check out books like Operation Hollywood by a former Variety magazine writer, it's a Hollywood magazine writer, and check out stories about the Pentagon's relationship with the video game industry, then at least you can mitigate your affection for that, because you won't realize that the fantasy culture being sold is just like the movie The Island with Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson, where there was a bunch of drones and every day they'd stare at this game show where somebody would get chosen to go to an island and they'd all fantasize about that. Then they go back to their drone-like existence. In the movie, at the beginning, you sort of thought that this was it. You know, these were drones, and once in a while, the powers that be evil let one of them escape to an island. And that's the American dream, to some degree, and the modern, you know, Americanized, globalized, standardized culture dream that, yes, 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 life is tough. Yes, 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 those people are starving. Yes, 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 the kids are screwed. And yes, 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 I'm probably screwed, but I just might make it, man. I just might get my big break. You know, I just might be the next Susan Boyle, you know, on from British Idol, you know, UK Idol or whatever. And the woman, the frumpy woman with the voice of, she sounds like an intelligence operation to me. If I was MI6, I would create her. Just, and I talked to a bunch of people. I was hanging out with my own boy and this girl he was dating, and she was nice and whatever. And they're both in their sort of early 40s. And this chick was just Canadian through and through. She was just she loved Susan Boyle from UK Idol, version of American Idol over there. The middle-aged frumpy woman with a truly great voice and a truly great story being sold around her. And she found her to be an inspiration to do what? An inspiration to dream. And these days, you know, I mean, Mr. Hope and Change here is on the cover of the Metro. People are always looking for an inspiration to dream. Today, folks, keeping it real is believing the fantasy. You know, listen to the music, listen to the culture, listen to the hip-hop. Check out what people are saying. Keeping it real is believing you'll be rich and famous. You know, it's believing you'll be a star. You know, that's what keeping it real means. It's believing in that type of fantasy. And so we have to understand what that means for our culture. Is that a good thing, a bad thing? Should we know? Should we care? Is it something that we should keep an eye on? You know, I would posit, as your radio host here on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, yes, because this is going to make dealing with the quote-unquote double-dip recession. Again, they just invent new terms when they want to screw us. Now there's an ongoing recession narrative that's been established. There's massive changes in our culture, and they happen fast, and we accept them fast. But now, even though we think, you know, we might be recovering, we do know we're in a recession, and if things get very bad, then we'll know, you know, what to say. Oh, yeah, the double-dip recession. Well, it had to happen, right? I mean, the housing market this, and it stabilized, and they pumped all that money to the banks, but that had to go somewhere, so now we're back to the housing market getting soft again, and the recession hitting us harder. And so, as the number of crises, or crisi, if I can invent a word, increase, our fantasy version of reality is supposed to make sure we are not prepared to deal with that. But hey, I'm like a quarter paragraph into one article in today's super light Metro newspaper. That's how thick the propaganda is, folks. I could go on about a random sentence here for a minute or two, but you know, as your CKLN radio host, I do have a job to break some of this down and cut through some of this. So in our Twitterverse culture, where if you got three things to say about something, that's two things too many. I'm just going to fly through this verbatim and give you what the Metro, courtesy of the Toronto Star, as an offshoot of the Toronto Star, has to say to you about this. So, into the article, after the little bold precis to the article. Widely viewed as dead 2 months ago, the Senate passed bill cleared the House on a 219-212 vote, with Republicans unanimous in opposition. Now, when healthcare starts screwing us all, the Republicans are going to use that to get elected later. Keep in mind that they didn't really expose it. They just voted against it. And y'all know which way the wind's blowing, folks. And so, you know, there's only so much to say. You got to say the right things to say you're against it, to reflect your vote, to say you're fighting on behalf of your constituents. So you've got to expose some of the fraud behind this. But if you don't expose the New World Order, well, this happens anyway. Which is kind of why, you know, I break it down here, and kind of why I'm breaking it down here to say we need to break it down here to these people. Let's give our politicians some backup, our media some backup. You want the vaccines out of the schools, out of the hospitals. If you know about this stuff, then give them some help. That nurse is making $67 a year. She's got a mortgage. She's got a condo. Her condo is $1,300 a month. Her condo fees are $350. She's got to live. She's got a life. If she knows vaccines are bad, she's not going to lose that job. And then what does she do? Especially in this, you know, ongoing permacession that is the recession. So somebody's got to say to the people were telling these people to shoot people full of vaccines, deadly big pharmacide vaccines, go to VRAN.org to get vaccine exemption forms to make sure that your children in schools don't have to get vaccinated, because it's not true that they do. It's just something they say to scare parents. You know, it used to be something to say they scare kids, to scare kids. Now there's like, that's something they say to scare parents. If you don't want these nurses and doctors and so on to be forced to recommend and administer an increasing number of vaccines, because they are coming out with more vaccines for everything, then you, as someone who is independent of the situation, who cannot really be harmed by the situation by repeating information that's already out there, said by people more credible than you, who have not been sued or jailed for saying it, it's up to you to repeat that information on a regular basis and often, and to everybody, and especially to people in positions of power. That's too much to ask for in democracy. Then, well, it's too much. It's going to come out perfect. If that's too much to ask for in a democracy, then we are asking for too much by asking for a democracy. So let's get back to the article here. 219-212 vote here in the House to pass, health care, which again is going to be sold as a good thing, but historically has been a bad thing. And we are listening to Aphex Twin, by the way. This is Aphex Twin, the best of his music from, I think, 85 to 97 or something, 89 to 97. Let me double check this just so I can. I am a radio host. I got to shout things out, accurately. And as a journalist here for CKLN, I got to break things down in between random ranting and editorializing. Just so you know, I feel this stuff, and I think you should feel this stuff. And if I have to feel this stuff, so you feel this stuff, then fine. Because I could be all cold. I could be a total sociopath. I'm pretty cold about this stuff a lot of times. I'm pretty heartless. My last girlfriend broke my heart into a million pieces. Now I just give them away for free. Now I don't know who I gave them away to. I don't know how many I got left. I know that soon they'll be all gone, and I can be even more heartless about this. But right now, it's a good way of living, because I'm just like, all right, cool, I'm cool with everybody. You know, if I need to fight, then whoever I'm fighting with is going to be in a bit of trouble for as long as I can arrange that. But at the end of the day, I'm chilling. But so this is Aphex Twin, selected ambient works from 85 to 92. I definitely recommend checking that out when you get a chance to. But back to this article here on healthcare. All right. Congressional officials said they expected Obama to sign the bill as early as tomorrow. A second measure making changes in the first was lined up for passage later in the evening. That measure would go to the Senate, where Democratic leaders said they had the votes to pass it. Crowds of protesters outside the Capitol shouted, quote, "Just vote no," in a futile attempt to stop the historic vote taking place inside a house packed with lawmakers and ringed with spectators in the galleries above. Across hours of debate, House Democrats predicted the central bill, costing $940 billion over a decade, would rank with other great social legislation of recent decades. Really? 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 Great social legislation of recent decades. Well, yes, it's good that minorities have rights and so on. Yes, it's good that women have rights. Yes, it's good that, you know, a bunch of things were at least noticed, if not dealt with well. But what type of world has our social legislation brought us to? Wider income gap than ever, more corruption than ever, more apathy than ever. People these days, you know, just giving up on the kids, and that drives me up the wall. It drives me absolutely up the wall to hear all this blame the kids stuff. Oh, the kids are so messed up, kids are so messed up. I have an anecdote I'd like to share about how people in these systems are being twisted. Around us, everybody, all of us, you know, even with my mayor campaign, I know as soon as somebody gives you money, they start controlling you. And me breaking down these satanic pedophile cults that run the world, and sometimes mentioning them, sometimes not. Sometimes mentioning that's what they are, sometimes not. Will have to be mitigated as soon as that very nice young lady or old lady or man or whoever gives me $500 to run for mayor. So I'm not stupid. I'm understanding what freedom is and how it's controlled. You know, if I had to write a book, just for argument's sake, Gandhi wrote this, you know, Gandhi wrote the story of my experiments in truth. Mine would be the story of my experiments in freedom with respect to thinking about these things and thinking about ways to deal with these problems. A lot of people these days in the world want to, you know, they recognize things are bad, recognize things suck, you know, in some ways. Of course, it's a beautiful world, it's a wonderful world. There's nice things to do, there's nice things to look at, and so on. But you know, the house is full of termites, and the big TV is nice, but when you know it's full of termites, you kind of acknowledge, yeah, we got termites. I just don't feel like dealing with them. Then you know, it's probably not going to go well. So, bottom line is this. All right. People want to feel good about, you know, a bad situation. And that's what most of the New Age culture for the last 100 years has been. People trying to feel good about a bad situation. This is from India. I can't say I'm from India, or I speak for the Indian people, the 1 billion, 1.2 billion strong of us. No, I was born and raised in this country. I'm a coconut, brown and hairy on the outside, white on the inside, whatever. This language, Scarlett's language terms are for this. But the point is that you know, I can say that thanks to Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, who I shamelessly stole this from. I'm going to play a clip of him in a sec on this healthcare issue. But, you know, people point things out, but it's up to you to think. You know, just repeating what someone else thought of isn't thinking. You know, just repeating, you know, oh, did you hear Obama passed healthcare bill today? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's historic. Yeah, it's a historic moment. Yeah, this is one of the great social legislation changes in history. Yeah. You know, that, if you could say that, you could say that at a party, you know, this weekend or at a place sometime in the city. That's as political as you can get. Quote the cover of the Metro, the main story. You can get that political. You can get political here. You just can't challenge that idea very effectively, very easily here in communist Canada, my friendly nickname for a culture where we find it very difficult to express ourselves openly about the most important issues that we know we have to face up to sooner or later. So, you know what? Before healthcare fades from our minds, I'm just gonna cut the rant short with this. All right. So, a lot of people these days want to feel good about a bad situation. You want to escape from it somehow. You want to do this or that or whatever. A lot of people in the conspiracy theorist, anti-New World Order, truther movement also want to feel that they did their part. So there's sort of a karmic, you know, thing there. You know, there's a karmic sort of like, look, not many people do stuff. It's scary. It's this. It's depressing. And so I'm glad that, you know, I did something. At least I did something is a fairly common refrain. And this is not, I'm not breaking down, I'm not attacking anybody. Google this. Go look on conspiracy websites, conspiracy message boards. Go look on Infowars.com. See the 217 comments after an article where people randomly vent a lot of conspiracy crybaby stuff. Wah, the New World Order is so bad. Wah, just random stuff like that. But there's very little planning going on. There's very little that's operational going on. And so, you know, when you have, you know, a bunch of people that know, you know, how the world works, that certify it, that hear some of the smartest people in the world, you know, say it and explain it, but aren't planning for not how to feel good about a bad situation or how to feel good as an individual who did something about a bad situation, but actually, you know, stop a bad situation from getting worse. Once you have, you know, a group of people that are habitualizing just talking about it. And talking about it in smart, interesting ways, being sort of academic about it. Like, here's the explanation for, you know, oh, Obamacare passed, and that means mandatory vaccines are coming, and that means a rationing of health care, and that means, you know, as part of Codex Alimentarius and Bill C-6 and GMO foods and all the other horrible things, you know, they're going to try and restrict research into that and make sure treatments for that are restricted to the universal federally mandated guidelines, which involve this one pharmaceutical drug you have to take for this problem. You have no other option and all that. Instead of just saying all that, which is true and fairly smart thing to say, I guess, how about talking about what to do about that? How about thinking more about how to explain that to the average person that is a supporter of this type of healthcare, this type of initiative? How about taking some time to plan to get your ish together and organize? And organize your thoughts and work with others and create a presentation for people in your neighborhood. Some great work done by the guys in Ottawa recently at We Are Change Ottawa, and they were just doing some banner hangs, and they said they got 500 honks and one FU for their 9/11 was an inside job banner, you know. And 9/11 is inside, you know, 9/11, you know, doesn't really have much to do with healthcare except, you know, the same New World Order people that run the world did, you know, sign off on 9/11 and then have their, you know, through their filtration think tanks, how are people going to react, how do we pull this off, to, you know, intelligence agencies, you know, who's the right people for the job, through private networks, how do we make this a private-public thing, so part of the operation is discussed and carried out privately, so nobody in the government whistleblows, and it can rat us out, blah, blah, blah. Webster Griffin Tarpley does a great job of explaining all this. You know, besides that process, which is the exact same way everything works, you know, when it comes to all this legislation and selling us, you know, bad ideas, how about dealing with some of that, breaking some of that down for people that don't know? If all you do is talk to people you know, then it makes it much more difficult to talk to people that you don't know. It's like there are people who come to this country and never learn English. You know, my man's Portuguese. His pops is Portuguese. Pops never learned English. If I was a stubborn old Portuguese man, or if I was a stubborn old brown man and I went to Portugal, I don't know. I'd probably try, in fairness, but I'm a different guy at this point in history. But I might just go, screw this. There's enough brown guys here that speak English, or enough white guys, or whatever. I won't bother. There's people that go teach English in Japan and China but never learn. So fair enough. But it's the same thing with, you know, ways of thinking and talking. And you can get away with that if your only goal is to speak conspiracy. You can get away with that. You can be like, well, there's conspiracy stuff I talk with my conspiracy people, and then there's regular stuff I talk with regular people, so don't think I'm all crazy and I don't depress them, scare them or whatever. And that's how it goes. But that only permanently compartmentalizes, you know, those worlds. And it forces you, it keeps you from finding ways to translate that for other people and normal people, quote unquote normal people. And so on. And so, you know, there has to be a habitualization. And most importantly, it keeps you from applying that knowledge to an interpretation of this world that can help you break down the conspiracy. You know, for example, you know, I know that that the New World Order is trying to sell us sex and really hard. Not just sex is out there and sex sells. You can't just say sex sells. It's why it's used to sell. But the New World Order has been promoting promiscuity for generations to help break up the family. The more sexual partners you have at a young age, the less likely you are to bond later and find someone you really trust and want to spend the rest of your life with. So that means you're less likely to settle down and have children. That means you're less likely to have a family. That means you're less likely to have someone who will defend you if you're a woman or a man. You know, you're less likely to have a family worth defending. So we're all isolated individuals, so the government can talk to each of us individually and dictate to us the terms of how they want us to accept the way we have to live. So that's sex. And there's a bunch of ways it's sold. We can see that. So I'm at the Eaton Center the other day, and I'm not even going to air out the company per se, you know, here. But one of those young, hip fashion stores, and boom, I spy with my little eye, and then I take pictures with my little camera. So all y'all don't think I'm blowing conspiracy sunshine up your butt. But I saw a mannequin with camel toe. No word of a lie. Gray track pants, boom. And yes, I look there, and yes, I'm a guy. And my man told me yesterday that his friend's a high school teacher, and there's a grade school teacher, a bunch of, like, you know, 11-year-old girls, and they're being told to dance super suggestively by a girl who teaches strip aerobics. They're being taught to dance with little white see-through tops on for a little school thing, and it's on video, and it's on repeat, it's being played. And if you're a guy and you notice this is horribly wrong, and little 12-year-old girls who are developing faster these days, thanks to the GMO everything, and so on, and extra estrogen, are developing, and they shouldn't be wearing these little see-through tops, and they shouldn't be dancing and grinding all suggestively, then you're a pervert. And if you're a girl, then you're a prude. And so you can't bring it up. And when my man's homeboy brought it up to his principal, she said, just very casually, she said, they looked very, very cute and sexy. So even the principal was okay with it. Again, secondhand story, do what thou wilt. The point of this isn't to go, oh, neat. It's to see if you can see the stuff happening in your culture. Here's Alan Watt on healthcare in England and what may or may not happen here and in the U.S.
This is Alan
with this
Watt,
new healthcare bill.
Through the Matrix, just showing you how articles can lead together to form a pattern and show you where it's all going to for those that want to think. This article here, after the last articles I read, goes on a step further to do with a death tax to fund care for the elderly. So the British government's, they haven't ruled this out. They want this death tax to continue or to go ahead. And this is from the March 10th Times Online. The health secretary today refused to rule out plans for a death tax to pay for care for the elderly. Andy Burnham would not commit the Labour, that's the so-called left wing, to a single policy option before a much anticipated white paper on the future of social care funding is published later this month. But after a debate on the issue with the Conservatives and Liberal Democrats, he set out in detail what a compulsory model of public funding could look like. The model endorsed by most patient groups, that's really it's a big, massive organization, and it's used as a front, of course, like everything else is, and believed to be favored by ministers, would involve every adult in England paying towards the cost of a new national care service, a universal system to provide free services. Well, how can it be free services when everybody's got to pay for it through their taxes? Oh, I love how they double-speak everything. So free service to the elderly at the point of need, much like the National Health Service. Well, see, if the National Health Service was working properly and they weren't cutting back all the cash from it from the government coffers all the time, you wouldn't need anything else, but that's not mentioned here either. It says the Conservatives have attacked the idea as a £20,000 death tax. That's what each person's going to pay this through an extra 20 grand just before when you get old, a certain age, which will be deducted from a person's estate when they died. Instead, they propose a voluntary system whereby people could pay an optional one-off payment of £8,000 towards insurance to cover the cost of future residential care. Now, by the way, if you don't have a living will in Canada and in the British Commonwealth countries, and we are just dominions of London, basically, then they seize your property if you go into care, if you're elderly. They seize your home and everything else and sell it. And they say that'll pay for your care, even though you paid all your life through taxes into the health service, because that's what runs it all. Critics say that the optional scheme would have low take-up and would not generate the necessary funds to cover the cost of an ageing population. Mr. Burnham denied a single amount would be charged to everyone under a compulsory system and said that a range of options were still being considered, including a 10% levy on the value of a person's estate or paying a means-tested amount in installments over the course of retirement. In other words, you come into your home, they value everything you've got, and that's called the ways and means idea, and they tax you from that. So tax, 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 tax. Plus, it's going to really upset everyone below certain age groups thinking, because they don't think they're any old either, and they'll blame the elderly for it. So this is just a bash the elderly kind of idea. After all, what does the UN say? The United Nations says that a good global citizen is a consumer and producer. If you're a consumer only, meaning you're retired, you're a useless eater, basically. Isn't that the case of it?
You know, a lot of girls be thinking my songs are about them, but this is not to get confused. This one's for you. Baby, you my everything. You all I ever wanted. We could do it real big, bigger than you ever done it. You be up on everything. Other hoes ain't never on it. I want this forever. I swear I could spend whatever on it. Cause she hold me down every time I hit up. When I get right, I promise that we gon' live it up. She made me beg for it till she give it up. And I say the same thing every single time. I say you the fucking best. Hey. You the fucking best. Hey. You the fucking best. Hey. You the fucking best, you the best I ever had, best I ever had, best I ever had, best I ever had, I say you the fucking. No, you got a roommate, call me when there's no one there, put the key under the mat and you know I'll be over there. I be over there, shout it, I be over there. I be hitting all the spots that you ain't even know was there. And y'all don't even have to ask twice. You could have my heart or we could share it like the last slice. Always felt like you were so accustomed to the fast life. Have a nigga thinking that he met you in a past life. Sweatpants, hair tied, chilling with no makeup on. That's when you're the prettiest. I hope that y'all don't take it wrong. Y'all don't even trip when friends say you ain't bringing Drake along. You know that I'm working, I'll be there soon as I make it home. Is she a patient in my waiting room? Never pay attention to the rumors and what they assume. And until them girls prove it, I'm the one that never get confused with. Cause baby, you my everything. You all I ever wanted. We could do it real big, bigger than you ever done it. You be up on everything. Other hoes ain't never on it. I want this forever. I swear I could spend
and
whatever
back,
on
CKLM
it.
Listeners, down, that was Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com right, talking about a British death tax for the elderly. And this is Drake, Toronto rapper and singer, talking about the best he ever had. Which is new speak for I love you. And anyway, so it is kind of funny to kind of see how we're taught to
I be on that tank shit, but so big I could probably sell a blank this. When my album drop, bitches will buy for the picture and niggas will buy it too and claim they got it for their sister. Magazine paper.
And he's probably right. Drake has got a new album out. He's a Toronto rapper and singer, and I do wish him luck again. This is the system that we do live in. If you do want your favorite artist to talk about something besides, the girl they have being the best they've ever had, while promising to have many more and promising to be as manly as possible by treating them like crap, then you do have to expose the New World Order because nothing else will do. And a lot of people are hip to that. And there's certain things that we can do in this culture to break that down. So here's a couple of solutions for you. Take some videos and pictures of the chemtrails, especially in the sky. If 100 people out of the 6 million in the greater Toronto area start putting up videos of the chemtrails on a regular basis, they'll stop because they'll have to stop because they operate using secrecy. That's their greatest strength and their greatest weakness, these New World Order characters. This psychopathic Borg system is the fact that they need to do everything in secret. So you can walk around and point things out and stare at them and make books and documentaries, and they just kind of have to keep their lips pursed and hope that their major institutions don't crack and reveal it. And yet sometimes they do. There's a great article in the Globe and Mail the other day talking about Toronto being a hub for conspiracy theories. It's not a hub for activism, though. Although as someone who was at an activist event supporting that recently, I mean, there's real activism and then there's the conspiracy theory stuff. And if those two were to meet, then we would clean the New World Order out of this city like Roto-Rooter, and that is starting to happen on a regular basis. Because activists know, the guys that want to get things done, the guys that want to, call City Hall and meet with counselors and work with other groups and possibly get funding, they know. What they can and cannot say. We all do. I used to work in the homeless industry, and I know, what you're supposed to say and how we can get our money and what we, had to avoid saying to make sure that we did. But at the same time, a lot of these people do know about the conspiracy. They've heard of the Illuminati or whatever, and yet they're not really given something reasonable to pull for with respect to a plan to beat them. And so that gets back to the idea of, how do you translate this information? If you compartmentalize it, and I'm looking at stuff here at Infowars.com right now, Democrats, Obamacare in the House, yes we can, Democrats chanted as the final votes were counted here. And that is just a brief article there. I'm sure people are in shock, because while the effects won't be seen immediately, it certainly sounds like the system is prepared to implement them. And it says here the corporate media calls Obamacare opponents racist and homophobic. And if you call someone a racist or a homophobe, it keeps other people from listening to them. So that was pretty simple BS they're pulling here. So definitely look into this more. Check out websites like Infowars.com. naturalmuse.com for health. We got to get the fluoride out of our water supply. I was at an event recently on the weekend where Claudia and her crew at Metro Hall, actually, they booked they were part of a group at Metro Hall with a table there. About 50, 60 people there in total on a variety of issues, mostly environmentally related. And one of the issues that the Regenesis Project and VoteOutFluoride.com is taking on is the issue of fluoride. There is a ton of evidence saying that fluoride is bad for your health. Montreal doesn't use it. Vancouver doesn't use it. Most of Europe doesn't use it. Their teeth are fine. At least there's no noticeable decline in the health of their teeth, according to the data that we have available. And yet Toronto does use it, and why? Well, fluoride is a byproduct of the aluminum industry and other industrial, it's an industrial waste product, basically. And it was actually kicked off the environmental movement, going on to New York many years ago, because when fluoride was leaking out of the plant, people were getting sick from it. Now, excuse me, they put it in trace elements in our water supply and say it's good for our teeth, but there's just simply no scientific evidence for that, so keep in mind that's an issue to work on here. Locally, groups like TorontoTruthSeekers.com, PressForTruth.ca, ConspiracyCulture.com is a great book and DVD store, including Roncesvalles. Definitely check out the great work that they have. And TheFreedomLink.org, a great website out there, networking patriots, you know, worldwide, to communicate about these issues. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day, it's true, but we've got to think about building Rome. We cannot be satisfied in this game, in the game of figuring out what's going on with the world. We're just learning stuff. We're just downloading information like trivia. We've got to go from learning to thinking. Thinking is what you do. I had a great conversation with this Jamaican woman who came to my store yesterday, and we chatted for a little while. It was close to the end of the day. And we're talking about the difference between learning and thinking. And thinking, because she was creative. She's into Afrozen and all these other different schools of thought. She's got her own confidence. She's got enough confidence to think she's something. And we were talking. She's from Jamaica. And I mentioned that you get more credit for your discipline than for your passion in this culture. Like, you know, if I were to do this radio show using a very calm and polite Nazi chic speak voice, and I was to lull all of you into a hypnotic state, then I would get a lot of credit for my voice. But if I say we've got to get moving on some of these issues here in this city, while there are giant chemical X patterns in the sky thanks to chemtrails that we at least have to find out what they mean, then we react in certain ways. So be careful, folks. Here in Communist Canada, we're starting to go at dissidents and intellectuals in certain ways, and we're being taught to do that. We're being taught to that it's painful to think, it's painful to question, it's painful to challenge. All of us are here in the same brainwashing suit, so let's try and feed each other spoonfuls of truth carefully and measuredly to make sure we can break out of this. But hey, there's music out there to get us going. I'm going to leave you with before Mr. David James get here, one of my favorite songs, Gangsta Music by Young Jeezy. There's no truther rappers making this kind of music, so I'm going to take this guy spouting for whatever the hell he's grinding for, and I'm going to try and apply it to what I'm trying to do. I hope you think the same. We will see you tomorrow.
Yeah, all you hating ass niggas, what you sneak dissing niggas? That shit don't get your own, it's going to get your
own.
If you a hater, you know it, fuck you. Get on there rapping ass bitches.
Fuck,
I really listen to your instrumentals, nigga. Bitch ass nigga. Dudes out in the CT. I'm here now. You old news. Got a couple Porsche trucks, couple old schools. I line your ass up, push the tape backwards. Cause I'm a real nigga, and I don't like rappers. And that ain't this, and this ain't that. And bitch, I'm strapped. Run with real niggas that'll cut your throat. And they don't drink Pepsi, they just sell coke. All I do is talk, bro, it's like my brain on drugs. See me out, nigga, I do my thing in clubs. Listen up, Jesus got a little riddle. Stack of $20 bills, two bands in the middle. All the gangsters, they gon' ride to this. They gon' grind to this. They gon' shine to this. Hey, this is gangsta music. Yeah. 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 All the hoodies, they gon' ride to this. They gon' grind to this.
They gon' shine to this. Hey, this is hustler music. This is hustler music. This is hustler music. This is hustler music. We don't talk on the phones, cause it might stick. Gotta play for the seven, call him Mike Vick. Dirty birds, nigga, we play with them Falcons. Know some niggas in Decatur that pay for the Falcons. Talking young, hungry niggas, eat your whole plate. Jesus, place the order, niggas, eat your whole plate. You got me misconstrued, yep. All fucked up. Yeah. Jump out, hit the switch, light your ass up. Carbon 1-5 with the 100-round drum. Got plenty for any nigga think he wants some. We don't leave him at the house, we bring him out. My chain for your life, we can swap it out. All the gangsters, they gon' ride to this. They gon' grind to this. They gon' shine to this. Hey, this is gangsta music. This is gangsta music. This is gangsta music. This is gangsta music. All the hustlers, they gon' ride to this. They gon' grind to this. They gon' shine to this. Hey, this is hustler music. This is hustler music. This is hustler music. This is hustler music. The hoes love my voice, make they pussy moist. Certified G shit, and I'm the gangster's choice. Niggas popping off, I hope they bulletproof. Leave hoes in you the size of a sunroof. Mac 11 in the club, in a snub nose. Swear to God, I'll knock you niggas out your fucking clothes. Lay your ass flat like a doormat. Niggas asking for it, but they ain't wantin' that. In the rap game, taking niggas clientele. White ones like the powder that I used to sell. Give a fuck about a player hater. Hit him with a two, flush his whole radiator. All the gangsters, they gon' ride to this. They gon' grind to this. They gon' shine to this. Hey, this is gangsta music. This is gangsta music. This is gangsta music. This is gangsta music. All the hustlers, they gon' ride to this. They gon' grind to this. They gon' shine to this. Hey, this is hustler music. This is hustler music. This is hustler music. This is hustler music.